p.m. hour here of Quinn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. I am Matt Scraby. Chris Ello on vacation. He'll be back in a couple weeks. Tony Gwynn Jr. officially now getting ready to start the final regular season series of the season at home for the Padres. They're going to be taking on the White Sox. We'll get into the matchups and everything a little bit later. But so far, we've had a pretty crazy show. We had Manny Machado on. We went down to the dugout, and we were waiting for him, and so I got to, like, spy on batting practice and everything. That was pretty fun. But Manny, if you didn't hear it, he sounded confident. He sounded like he was relaxed. He sounded like he's in a really good place for this team, and his teammates are in a really good place as well. So I'm very excited about what this team has in the next, 10 games or so. I'm very excited to see how they finish this year, because it's going to be a crazy finish. You have the Mets winning last night. You had the Diamondbacks winning last night. You have the Braves winning last night. You have all the teams that you don't want to win winning last night. So they're not making it any easier on the Padres. They're actually making it pretty difficult on the Padres, because the Padres are leading the way. They are the ones who are, what's the phrase I'm looking for? They control their own destiny is what I was trying to say. They're controlling their own destiny, so they are leading the way with the wild card, and they are able to basically see what happens behind them, and obviously they want to win all the games that they can, but if they drop one, they could still look back and see what's going on with the rest of the wild card teams, rest of the National League teams, and it's going to be a sprint to the finish here coming down to the end, and I'm excited. I mean, I've been doing this now for 7 years. This is our 7th year as a show together. And I don't know that I've seen a better Padres team yet. I mean, we had some additions of Padres teams that were pretty good, but I feel like this team is the most complete team. This team has the most, pieces that fit. And I'm not saying that they were just throwing things together last year, but this year you have guys like David Peralta, as we just talked about with the countdown. You have guys like David Peralta, Donovan Solano. You have guys in the bullpen. AJ Preller having faith in Jackson Merrill to play center field. This is the most complete team. And it just seems like the team also really, really enjoys being around each other. And that's an important thing in a baseball season. They spend literally almost every single day for like 6 months together. So if you don't like your teammates, you are going to have a really long summer. But that's not the case here with the Padres. And we'll hear from Manny again in the 5 o'clock hour. We still have a big five to go in this hour. We have a Chris versus the Fans. It's going to be Adam versus the Fans, which is going to be coming up here shortly. So get in line. 833-288-0973. We're going to be playing for a prize that I will tell you about in just a second. But first, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit spiroscuisine.com, and they also have a spot here at Petco Park. So if you were here at Petco Park tonight or over the weekend, make sure you go check out Spiro's. All right, I think it's time for Adam versus the Fans. And if you are going to be the winner today, if you end up beating Adam, you will be qualified for a chance to win a grand prize, a two-night stay at Wynn or Encore Las Vegas, and two tickets to see Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas, dazzles audiences with soaring aerialists, bounding acrobats, high-energy choreography, and comedic moments. At the heart of this compelling story, a hero must confront the forces of light and darkness in a quest to save the world. I always feel like I need to be dramatic there. A mythic adventure unfolds set amid the most technologically immersive theater ever designed. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. You will also win a pair of tickets. You will have these in hand, or at least on your phone, in the next couple weeks. A pair of tickets for 5 tastings in the Wine and Beer Garden at the La Jolla Art and Wine Festival on September 29th. This is a free event featuring 160-plus fine artists and loads of family fun. Tickets are required to enter the Wine and Beer Garden and can be purchased at ljawf.com. So all you need to do is call us right now, 833-288-0973. And now it's time to play Adam versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Chris vs. the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. Here are the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. I'm Ron Burgundy, literally Ron Burgundy. And Adam gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Adam gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And there's going to be a lot of stat-related questions today. I think that's pretty fair with Adam playing Adam versus the Fans today. So I believe we're going to start with Dan. Dan is on the line. Hello, Dan. How are you doing?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Oh, I forgot one part of the rule. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and we will give that question for free. So, Dan, are you a first-time player?
I'm like a 15-time loser, 3-time winner.
Okay. He's 3-15, everybody. I like that record for you, Dan. It means that you've kept trying even though you keep losing. All right, here we go. Adam versus the Fans, question number one. What college did Tua Tagovailoa play football for?
Crimson Tide.
Sorry, what did you say?
Alabama, Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide is correct. I can't hear as much, so I'll do my best. But if Adam hears it and he knows the answer is right, then he'll go ahead and hit the buzzer. But here we go for question number two. All right. Heading into today, name the two teams who have clinched a playoff spot in the American League.
I'll go with the Yankees and the... Yankees and the...
Gonna need an answer.
Rangers.
Yankees and the Rangers. That is incorrect. However, stay right there. Let's see if Adam gets it. Adam, do you know the two teams?
He doesn't need to stay right here. We'll go with the Yankees and the Guardians.
That is correct. Thank you very much,
Dan, for
playing.
Thanks for playing,
Dan. Poor Rangers. I think they were eliminated in like July, but that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. All right, let's go to our next contestant. We're going to go to Hilberto, one of our guys. Hilberto, how are you?
Muy bien, ¿cómo están, muchachos?
Gracias.
Muy bien.
Yeah. I'm all over the place today with my responses.
¿Quieres que?
That's okay, guys.
¿Quieres que jugar en español?
Claro que sí.
He said yes, he understands. Yeah, I think so, right?
I asked if you wanted me to play in Spanish.
Oh, okay. Adam, if you could do that, please. I want to see this as well.
¿Quieres que juego en español?
En español o en inglés, nada más.
Okay, I have no idea what's going on right now, but here it's time for question number one, Hilberto.
Okay.
Let's do this one. Okay. Who was the leading passer in last night's Thursday night football game?
Leading passer last night's game?
Yes.
It's gotta be Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is correct. We're gonna get into the awkward hug in the big five. There you go, Aaron.
I just hung up on Hilberto.
Oh, my gosh.
I was putting another caller on hold. Gilberto, I'm so, so sorry.
This is something that I've done before, so I'm not too mad at it because I know that
I feel bad.
Well, the buttons are right next to each other.
Yeah. Let's go to Michael in Lemon Grove and tell Gilberto I owe him one.
All right. Gilberto, we owe you one. I'm sorry. Michael, Lemon Grove, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, guys. If Hilberto calls back, I'll cede the floor back to him. I'll be...
What a guy. What a guy. Doing things for Hilberto. I love it. All right. Let's get started with question number one.
Love you, Hilberto.
Rest in peace. Your call. Michael, what team... This should be easy. What team is leading the American League East right now?
The Yankees.
The Yankees is correct. All right, here we go. Question number two.
Boy, that was easy, huh? The team that clinched the playoff spot already.
this one's not so easy, I don't think. Name the two NFL quarterbacks tied with four interceptions each. They have the most interceptions in the league. Name the two quarterbacks tied for four interceptions each.
Tied with four interceptions each.
Correct.
I guess Bryce Young. You lose your job, you got to throw a lot of picks. And I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers because he had one more game.
Oh, well, that's a nice thought, but that is incorrect. Now, Adam, do you know the two quarterbacks in the NFL tied with four interceptions each?
This is a tough question, but I will go with Bryce Young as one of them. And my other guess will be Will Levis of the Tennessee Titans.
That is incorrect. The you were moving on, Michael, to question number three. The answers: Anthony Richardson of the Colts and Bo Nix of the Broncos.
Good questions, Gravy.
Thank you. We would think that Bryce Young had more than three interceptions, but that's all he's had this year. All right, Michael, you are on to question number three. You get this right, or Adam gets it wrong, and you are qualified to Las Vegas. You also get tickets to the La Jolla Art and Wine Festival. Here we go. What jewelry company makes the Vince Lombardi trophy?
There's only two that immediately jump out. Tiffany's.
That is correct. Wow, Michael. Thank you so much for doing that for us. I mean, Tiffany is correct. What is he still on the line? What was your other thought?
Yeah, I was thinking Swarovski for like Swarovski crystals, but I think that's the NCAA tournament.
Wow, I need to put that as a question.
Like football.
I've never heard of the Swarovski Jewelry Company, but hey, I'm going to put that as a question. Stay on the line. Adam is going to get your information. Great playing, Michael. Sorry to Gilberto once again, guys. I feel like Gilberto's...
Lo siento mucho.
He's in his car right now, just like, why did Adam hang up?
He's actually calling back in. You want to talk to him for a second?
Sure. Let's talk to him. Hey, Gilberto.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I did not have anything to do with that, but there was a little bit of a slip of the finger. Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Next time you call, you get the first one for free, even though it gives you a big advantage.
No, it's okay. Listen, you see that nice shield answer did what I asked him to do?
No, what was that?
He rested a rise.
Oh, yes, yes, he did rest the rise, and I think that's a definite thing that they needed to do. Yeah, let me give the line. Thank you, Hilbert, though. We're gonna connect next week or in the future, but you get that first question for free because of the hang-up issue. But let's go check out the lineup real quick and get you all set for that. Here it is. Luis Arraez is DHing today, batting first. Fernando Tatis Jr. Oh, thank you. I'm so out of my element when I'm not in the studio. It's
you can't give the lineup without the sounder.
You're right. Chris would throw something at me if I did that. Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second, playing right field. So a little bit of a move up from third. And Profar's now hitting third, playing left field. Manny Machado, who he has been batting second. Why did I think that? Anyway, we're going to go forward. Machado, third base, cleaning up. Merrill playing center field, batting fifth. Xander Bogaerts playing shortstop. When did he do that, Adam? I'm just kidding. I know Xander Bogaerts has played shortstop for quite some time now. Donovan Solano playing first base. Jake Cronenworth playing second base, batting eighth. Kyle Higashioka catching, batting ninth. And then Joe Musgrove on the mound. So Luis Arraez is not going to be in the field one more time today, which I think is okay. I mean, his knee looked like it really hurt. And although you're never going to get a guy like him to come out of a lineup on a daily basis, he is going to he's going to be someone that is going to lobby hard to stay in the lineup. And I'm sure Mike Schilt made a compromise with him, kind of saying, hey, we need to rest your knee a little bit, so let's keep you off the field, but we'll still keep you in the lineup. And he's still going for a batting title. I mean, there's what, 10 games left in the season? Luis Urias has a batting title that he could win. He wants to be in that lineup. I want him to be in that lineup. He is in that lineup. So that's what we got going on tonight. Thank you to Michael for playing Chris vs. the Fans. Thanks to everybody who called. When we get back, we are going to talk about some of the best home moments this season at Petco Park. I asked people earlier on X. I sent out a Zeet, which I'm trying to get that word to catch on. I don't know if it will be. But we'll go over some of those when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, back here in the loft, 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris, Tony off doing his pregame stuff. Chrisello on vacation, Matt Scraby, as I said, in the loft. Sammy Lev is going to join me in a little bit, maybe around the 5 p.m. segment. We're going to have a big five here in about 20 minutes. But right here, we're going to talk about the last series at home, regular season series at home for the Padres. I have to say that because I'm pretty sure, I can't say I'm pretty sure, but I'm hoping that they're going to have another home game here so far. But we're going to go through some of the favorite moments according to you. And I want to make an addendum to the countdown that we did, which would be the top five AJ Preller moves this year. And Brandon, or who had this one? Because they had a really, really good one. It just came in right before I came back. But they were saying that it was the acquisition, or actually the hiring of Mike Schilt as manager. And I think that is something that we need to talk about, because the manager position, I was a little disenchanted with the way things went down with Bob Melvin and how he was let go and all of that stuff. In the end, it obviously worked out for the Padres much more than we could have imagined at the time. And we all knew at the time the only choice really was Mike Schilt. He had been in the organization for a couple years. He had managerial experience before. He came from an organization in the St. Louis Cardinals that had a winning tradition. So Mike Schilt was the choice for the Padres. Now, we heard all these other people being interviewed for it, and nothing really stood out to me. So they made the right decision with Mike Schilt being the manager of the team. So I do think that's a good addition to our countdown, because we definitely need to mention that. Mike Schilt has put himself in a position to possibly win manager of the year in the National League. And I know that some people want the Brewers manager to win the manager of the year, but I think Mike Schilt has done a little bit more this year. I it's hard to say, because if you look at the Brewers, you look at them and their injuries, and you have Christian Yelich, who's been out most of the year due to a back issue. So you have one of your better players not playing all season long. You still clinch a division with over a week to go. That's a pretty good job. I got to say, it's a pretty good job. I can't say that he's not deserving of manager of the year, but Mike Schilt has put this team into a place where they're playing some of the best baseball since the All-Star break across the league. And you can't discount that. I don't think you can look past what Mike Schilt has done with this team. And I personally just have this feeling, and I know this is a bad feeling. I probably shouldn't even say it, but I just have this feeling he's not going to win. And I think he should win, but I just got this feeling, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. And sometimes my feelings are not very correct, and I don't predict the future, and this is probably one of those, but we'll see what happens here come award season. But there's going to be the Padres up for a couple awards. We got Rookie of the Year. I think Manny should be in the MVP conversation. Not that I think he's going to win, because I think everybody has already basically written in Shohei Ohtani, but you got a lot going on this postseason in regards to awards. All right, let's go to the tweet, the Z. As I've been trying to say. And thank you, Brandon, for putting hashtag Zeet on your tweet, or on your Zeet. But Morris84 replied to my tweet saying, in honor of the final regular season home series being played this weekend, what are some of your favorite home game moments this year? And this one stood out to me. Morris84, I took my dad to his first Padres game versus Oakland. Pods came back from being down 4-2. Jackson Merrill walked it off in the ninth. My dad had one of the best days in years. He hadn't been out in public due to his cancer diagnosis in years. Hell of a game for him to be at. And that's like what baseball is all about. The spirit of baseball, seeing stuff like that, being a part of the community of Padres fans. And I remember this game. I believe it came against Mason Miller, and I believe it secured a sweep for the first series sweep for the Padres this year. And it's kind of funny to think about it now, because we're also worried that they hadn't swept the team all year, and they were the only team in baseball who hadn't swept the team all year, and they hadn't won more than four in a row, and they just won four in a row the other day, and no one blinked. That's how good they've been since the All-Star break. But Jackson Merrill walking it off, that kind of started his whole rise to the top. That home run that he hit that helped the Padres win the game, walk it off against the A's, against a really tough pitcher, Mason Miller, was one of those moments that we're all going to look back on and be like, that was the moment Jackson Merrill became Jackson Merrill. Let's go to the next one. Nando's go-ahead home run against the Cubs after being down 8-0. This one is from Ken. Ken, this is a great one. I remember this like it was yesterday. I wasn't at the park, but I was at home. I was watching the at-bat, and I jumped off my couch because it was that big of a deal. At that moment in the season, the Padres were kind of struggling. Fernando wasn't doing great. The team was just kind of being slow to start a little bit. But that moment against the Cubs was a really nice moment. Now, it would take them a little bit longer to get going. So I thought that was going to be the launching point for the Padres. But it wasn't the launching point. They had a few more weeks of struggling. But they did what they did. And they are now sitting at the top of the wild card today. And Nando hitting that home run against the Cubs after being down 8-0 is a great one. That is a really good one. Brandon says, Manny's walk-off against Arizona after life had been sucked out of the building when Arizona took the lead in the top of the ninth on July 5th. Hashtag Zeet. Great one, Brandon. I do remember this one. This one kind of slipped my mind a little bit. I had to go back and look at it. But, yeah, that was a huge one. Right in that area of the season, the Padres were they were kind of playing 500 baseball. And they would win a few, and then they would lose a few. And then they would win one, lose one, win one, lose. There was no sustained winning streak that happened at that point in the season. So that did feel like a bigger home run than it actually may have been at the time. Natalie says she was also in attendance for the Machado walk-off against the Diamondbacks on July 5th and the Tatis walk-off versus the Tigers on September 4th. Both were hashtag electric. Now, what I remember about the junior walk-off against the Tigers, and I'm sure most people know where I'm going with this, was right after that, Fernando ran around the field with his shirt off looking like a Greek god, and I was very jealous of his physique, because Fernando, as we all know, is in great shape. And so they tore his shirt off and he ran around the field. I thought that was a great moment, and it was hilarious at the same time. So thank you for that one, Natalie. Sandy also says Merrill's walk-off down the right field pole. Zay sent me a bunch of videos and screenshots of a bunch of Manny Machado home runs. Right Field Mission says beating the Dodgers on Friday night in Manny's home run after they threw at Profar in the first. Yes, I remember I was there at the game with Michael King and Tyler Glasnow, and that seemed like a huge, huge, huge win. Luis Arraez's first home game for the Padres in City Connect uniforms. Michael King, I believe he struck out 11 that night. Took down Tyler Glasnow, and the Padres won that game. And that was one of those games where you're like, all right, this team has it. This team can do it. And they did it on that night. Brian says, Profar's game against Washington. That's where I'm going to end this one, because that might be the moment of the entire season to this point. I don't like doing these things because I always forget things and then I want to re-rank everything. But that moment with Profar just getting under the skin of the Nationals with his walk-off celebration, and then the next day when they threw at him, and then Manny came in with Keibert Ruiz and trying to get him to calm down, and then Mackenzie Gore gets a homer just crushed off of him by Manny Machado. And that was like maybe the most perfectly timed home run that I've seen in a long time, because everybody was really up in arms about the whole Profar thing. Manny Machado calmed it down. Benches kind of clear a little bit. I believe, Adam, I hope I'm right on this one, but wasn't Jesse Winker fighting with the fan in the stands the night before? I believe that's what happened. Yes, he's shaking his head. Yes. So there was a lot going on in that Washington series, but there's been a lot that's happened all season long here at Petco. And again, I think there's going to be more to come. There's going to be more to come. I mean, there's just so much that we could say here, and I can't get to all of it. Let me go through real quick just to make sure I'm not missing any good ones. before we head to break. A Solano walk-off, that was pretty good as well, I got to say. But mostly those are the ones that people were remembering. I got to see what else. Let's see. Someone said also the three home runs back-to-back-to-back on Wednesday. So why not put that in there as well, because that was pretty exciting. All right. You're listening to Gwynn and Chris. I'm Matt Scraby. When we get back, we are going to have a big five. So Tony and I sat down. We talked about a whole bunch of things. And we talked about the White Sox being in town. And we talked about whether or not the Padres absolutely 100% have to sweep the White Sox. So the big five is next here on 97.3 The Fan. Back here in the loft in the Western Metal Building here at Petco Park, getting set for game one of three between the Padres and the White Sox. Already been talking to a few Padres fans today. Gadesh is here with us. He's been a listener to the station. So if you want to come by and say hi, please do. We're up in the loft in the corner. You'll see us. We're right in front of all the baseballs that look like an American flag. We're going to get into the big five here in just a second. But real quick, let's go and check out the matchup tonight between Joe Musgrove. Joe Musgrove. There's a lot going on. I don't know how Sammy Levs does it. Like, if I were to do this every single day, I think I would get used to it. But Sammy Levs is a master of being able to do his job while there's a lot going on around him. And I appreciate that. He's going to join us here, by the way, at 5 p.m. So stick around for that, because he's going to get us set for this series. And then we're going to hear from Manny Machado again in the 5 o'clock hour. But Joe Musgrove is going for the Padres, as I've said. And the internet is being really slow. I should have had this ready. Garrett Crochet is going for the White Sox. Now, that's an interesting one, because Garrett Crochet is not necessarily going to go deep into the game. As a fantasy manager that owned Garrett Crochet throughout the baseball season, I know at the end, you know, if he has a good start, he'll go 3 innings. I think that's maybe his max. Maybe 4. 4 max. But 3, it seems to be something that he's been doing a lot lately. He's good, though. I mean, don't get it twisted. He's very good, and he could do some damage in the little time that he has. I mean, he was a couple weekends ago. He only pitched maybe 3 innings. He had 8 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts. So Garrett Crochet can do damage, and he can do damage against any lineup that he faces. It's just a matter of how quickly can the Padres get to the bullpen, because that's where you want to get. And that's what the Padres have been really good at doing this year. I was talking to a friend from Cincinnati, and their team just got eliminated the other day. And he's he's been a Cincinnatian his entire life, and he's been a Reds fan his entire life. And he's very jealous of what the San Diego Padres fans have right now. He's very jealous of having a team that is as good as the Padres and having a team that is playing to their potential right now, like the Padres are. And Cincinnati has some good players and everything, but, you know, it just feels good to be on this side. Ellie De La Cruz is a great player, but he's not ready to carry a team like Manny Machado is. And so if you're a Padre fan out there, you got to feel fortunate, because there's so many other teams out there that are just bad baseball teams. And the White Sox, unfortunately for them, are one of those bad baseball teams. They're going to be in town tonight, Garrett Crochet and Joe Musgrove. Now, Joe Musgrove is coming off of a very good outing, so I expect for him to be as good tonight. And that's something to watch for. I'm going to tell Sam what to watch for in this game is how long Garrett Crochet pitches in the game, because it's going to be 3 or 4 innings, I have a feeling. And if he gets in trouble early, it could be 1 inning, or it could be 2 innings. But he's not going to go deep into this game. I can almost 99% say that he's not going to go deep into this game, just being the fantasy champion, double champ that I am for fantasy baseball. All right, I think we have the Big Five is ready. So we're going to talk. We're going to go. Tony is going to rejoin me. And then we are going to hear about the Padres, whether or not they actually have to sweep this weekend, and a lot more. But first, your traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Sauer is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Now, an impromptu show today from Petco Park, so I will be big voice guy
number 5.
As we know, Tony, the Padres, Tony shaking his head for the record, everybody. As we know, the Padres are playing the White Sox this weekend, and the other wildcard teams are still winning. I know the White Sox are still a major league team, and they have been better, playing better as of late, but is this, Tony, a series where you can't accept anything less than a sweep?
No, it's a stupid idea to set yourself up for failure so that if they don't get a sweep, you're like in the dumps and you think the season is in shambles. No, they don't. Just keep doing what they're doing, been doing. Win the series. If they can get a sweep, awesome. But, you know, 2 or 3 is just fine.
You know, I talked to a lot of Padres fans last night on DMs, and they were talking to me about the baggage of previous years, about how we were talking about that yesterday. And a lot of the fans are not feeling the baggage as of late. So I think
that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing. And if they don't sweep them, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But it would be nice to get a sweep, especially when the Mets cannot lose and the Diamondbacks won and the Cubs won and the Braves won and all the teams that you need to lose won.
So, well, I mean, that's for now. But there's another day today and then tomorrow again another game. They have to keep winning as much as the Padres have to keep winning. So it's not – Padres, remember, they've put themselves in a position where – All the teams chasing them have to do more winning than the Padres actually have to do.
They control their own destiny.
Ding.
All right. Number 4. I really feel stupid doing that now.
Maybe you should stop.
We'll just go through it. Some thought the Marlins were going to pitch around Shohei Ohtani yesterday while he was literally doing everything an offensive player could do yesterday. There was a shot of Marlins manager Skip Schumacher in the dugout yesterday, and lip readers, yes, I know lip readers, are saying that he wanted nothing to do with walking Shohei Ohtani. A lip reader on the internet said, quote, "Bleep that. I've got too much respect for this guy for that bleep to happen," end quote. I'm up first. Do you think they should have pitched around him? No. I love what Skip Schumacher did here. This is what baseball is all about. It's like the equivalent, not really the equivalent, but like Chris was saying on Monday night, he wanted Lori to sit Devontae Smith in her fantasy league. That goes against the spirit of fantasy football. You play your players and see what happens. And you know what? The Marlins did what they did.
That actually wasn't a bad comparison right
there.
Very nice.
Thank you. The Marlins did what they did, and they got crushed for it. But hey, at least you're not going to go down as that guy, Skip Schumacher. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, no. Shout out to Skip for keeping the integrity of the game and you know, not pitching around Shohei, even though he was out of his mind yesterday as he finished with 3 homers and 2 doubles and a single, I believe. I think this is what it's about, right? I mean, it'd been different had it been a situation where it was like close ball game. You're trying to, I mean, the game was already well out of hand at that point. Intentionally walking a guy only at that point for the sake of not becoming a part of history, I think is whack. And so, I mean, it's not a surprise. Skip has always been, A, straightforward, but B, he shows a ton of respect for the game. He loves this game, and that's not how it's supposed to be. He was around playing, you know, around that time when Barry was breaking, doing his thing. So, like, we all got a chance to see that. Nobody was ducking the fade at that point, so don't duck it now.
And yesterday it didn't really matter.
It didn't matter at all.
They won, I think, 20-3 or 4.
As I said, if it was a 1-run ball game and he came up and he was already doing it, okay, yeah, that I can understand you intentionally walking him, but you were getting your face beat up right at that point.
After the show last night when you left, I saw they were showing highlights. I'm like, the dude hit another home run? He hit another home run?
I didn't actually know if he gave up. I didn't see it till later. So when I looked at the final stats and I saw that, wait, he had 3 homers?
17 bases.
I had to go back and look at it in order to see it. But yeah, man, dude is on another level.
Yes. All right. Let's go to football. In the last five seasons, the Cincinnati Bengals have started 1-9 in the first 2 weeks of each season, for like total, for the 10 games that Joe Burrow's been the starting quarterback. And for a team that's won a lot of games, this is a pretty surprising stat, to me at least. Joe Burrow said things are going to be okay, and they're familiar with this place in the standings. They only made the playoffs in two of those five seasons. So, Tony, do you think this is a bigger deal than the Bengals say?
What is a bigger deal?
Starting slow. Starting 1-9 in their last 10 first 2 weeks.
I mean, it's not as much of a problem now because there's extra games on the calendar than there used to be. But, you know, before starting, you know, 1-3, you know, 0-4, somewhere along those lines, that gets you into a bunch of, you'd be in trouble. Most of the time they would say you'd be not making the playoffs. So I know they have a track record of being able to play better football as the season goes along, but that's not something I think you want to keep doing year in and year out. So to answer your question, is it a big problem or not? I don't know if it's a big problem yet, but it's starting to become an issue.
It is.
And especially if they can't turn it around.
Yeah, T. Higgins is supposedly going to be coming back here soon. They got him. You know, they had the whole Jamar Chase contract issue. I was reading earlier in the Joe Burrow career, he had appendicitis that took him out for a little bit.
I remember that.
He had the calf injury that took him out. Now he has the wrist injury. So I don't know if this is a Bengal problem or
does he have a wrist injury now, though? I think that was...
Well, and some are saying that it's still he's still hurting from it. But who knows? But if you're like the NFL, as we've talked about, each game is so important. And Tony makes a good point. They have more games now, so you're able to waste a game and then be able to make it back up.
I'm not saying you're able to waste a game, but if by chance you have a bad start, it's not as detrimental as it used to be.
I mean, stats used to be like if you start 0-2, you have like a 10% chance of making the playoffs. But now it's not so much like that. So we'll see what happens with the Bengals, and we'll see if they win this coming weekend. Derek Carr's a little bit of trouble with the NFL. New Orleans Saints quarterback Derek Carr has been fined for his week 2 touchdown celebration that imitated Michael Jackson, a source told ESPN. Carr snuck the ball in from the 1 yard line for a touchdown in the third quarter of the Saints 44-19 win against the Cowboys on Sunday. He then did a dance move made famous by Jackson that involved grabbing at his crotch.
Oh, maybe that's what the
and you're not allowed to do sexually suggestive celebrations.
The pump was a problem then.
So I'm up first. Is this a case of the no fun league? I think it is.
I think it is
because it's a Michael Jackson move. People know that Michael Jackson did that. When I saw it, I was kind of crazy for Derek Carr, of all people, to do.
That's what was out of pocket. Or that's what was, like, out of sorts.
Like, so weird about it is because Derek Carr's a pretty straight-laced guy. But the No Fun League has been out this year. The celebrations. We got the T-shirt cannon from Raheem Morris yesterday when it really was probably a gun shooting in the air. If you're gonna find Derek Carr for this, you have to find Drake London for the T-shirt cannon.
And they
got a penalty and all this other stuff. But this is a case of the No Fun League, Tony.
Yeah, no, I agree. Case of the No Fun League. I feel like the sexually suggested moves are only sometimes fine. I feel like there's been a couple guys who've gotten away with a few of those pumps, and then it wasn't that big of a deal. I remember, I think a referee was about to give a penalty if it extended beyond two. And this was just one, at least the celebration I saw from Derek Carr. So maybe it was the hand on the crotch part that got him in trouble. But I thought that happened last
year. Was it the receiver show that showed that? Amon-Ra St. Brown?
It was the receiver show. Yes. That's exactly right.
And he was like, hey.
One more pump.
One more pump, you're getting flat.
Exactly.
Such a weird thing to say, too.
So I would say that we need some consistency. I would say that this is a case of the No Fun League right here, because Derek Carr's wasn't as bad. Now, listen, that was last year that we saw the receiver game. So maybe this year they're cracking down on the pumps. You only get none.
Feels like the NFL is worried about a lot of things that don't matter.
That don't matter at all.
Like
right.
This doesn't matter. I know that there's some parents out there probably thinking, why did Derek Carr do that? Now my kid's running around the house grabbing his crotch. But who cares? It's a Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah, you know, the problem is the kids don't know who Michael Jackson is now.
So that it
this
is
generation,
true.
They don't know. So whereas our generation knew exactly where that was coming from, it wasn't anything obscene. Now it may seem like, oh, what? Where is that coming from?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm having a hard time realizing that kids
old?
These days. Yeah, thank you. That kids these days don't know. Like I was talking to some of my mom's a teacher. Some of her students are in like third and fourth grade. And I went in last year and I was like, they're like, who do you work with? Who do you work for? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, do you know who Tony Gwynn is? And they're like,
yeah.
I'm like, I guess you guys are only like 9 years old. So that makes sense.
I'm the young one, too. The younger version. They definitely didn't see my pops at
that
all.
That is crazy to me. It's crazy. All right, final one. After the Jets scored their second touchdown of the night against the Patriots, quarterback Aaron Rodgers approached head coach Robert Saleh. And what happened next went viral. In a nutshell, Saleh went for a hug. Rodgers opted for a two-handed shove of the chest. The interaction was capped by a side eye from Rodgers, according to the article that I was reading. Rodgers was asked about the awkward moment after the victory, and he said, quote, no, it's not really awkward at all. He's not a big hugger usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-handed chest push as well, but he talks a lot about two-score lead, so I kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead. Tony, you believe Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, this is, I know we look to jump on anything Aaron's doing, but this is a lot to do about nothing. I think it was just, as he said, a little miscommunication between, you know, if Saleh's not a hugger, you're certainly not expecting a hug at that point. Saleh was feeling pretty good about seeing his team finally play some good football, so he was just trying to hug anybody at that point. So, this is a lot to do about nothing. I think, I do think that he should be pretty happy with what he saw. Aaron Rodgers did not look like a man who was coming off of a torn Achilles. He was moving around, throwing on the run. He looked really good.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers just needed to kick the rust off the
yeah,
first 2 weeks.
I think so.
The first week he was really rusty against the 49ers. Second week against the Titans, he was good enough to get a win. And then last night he was incredible.
He was carving last night.
But do I believe him? Yeah, because Robert Saleh was a defensive coordinator for the 49ers forever. He does do the chest push.
I've seen him do the two-handed
chest push.
He loves
the chest push. So that's where Aaron Rodgers was going, and he was so happy he went for the hug. And then it created an awkward moment, which is hilarious, and it's not like a contentious moment whatsoever.
No.
All right. That is it for the Big Five. We are going to head to break. When we get back, Sam Levitt is going to join me, kind of get this last regular season series at home for the Padres. We're going to set that up. We're also going to hear from Manny Machado from earlier today. So stick with us. We'll be back shortly here on 97.3 The Fan.